rebel, the rhythm. KUT 90.3. Oh, yes. Hello, Colin.
Hello, Scott.
How are you today?
Doing great. How are you?
Good.
We got another good interview coming up, my friend.
Oh, yeah. I'm excited.
We are interviewing the director of the Jell-O Museum in upstate New York.
J-E-L-L-O.
J-E-L-L-O. We'll talk in a bit, Colin, but that's what I wanted to announce. Excited for this interview. So coming up within the next hour. You're listening to CKUT 90.3. The Tuesday morning show, every Tuesday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. We'll speak to you guys in a little bit.
I'm not afraid to die.
CKUT 90.3 FM. You're listening to the Tuesday morning show. That's every Tuesday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. CKUT 90.3 in Montreal or CKUT.ca online. Here again with my friend Colin on the other side of the computer.
The other side of the country.
Not even the country, my dude.
Other side of the continent.
A continent, different country. Colin, are you a Jell-O fan?
Am I a Jell-O fan?
Yes.
Yes, I am a Jell-O fan.
Any flavors?
Well, are we talking strictly Jell-O, the gelatin mold, or are we talking about Jell-O, the company that also makes pudding?
We're talking strictly gelatin.
Okay.
Not pudding.
I would say orange.
Orange is good. That's right.
Yeah.
I have to say lime. Lime's good. I think that's all I've ever had. I think it's more of a texture thing for me.
You don't like it?
No, I do.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Put in whatever flavor you want in there. I don't care.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it just reminds me, it's kind of like a nostalgia thing. Like, when I was sick with a sore throat, like, my mom would give me Jell-O whenever I was a kid, you know? Mm-hmm. And it was always, like, a nice treat because it was cold and it would, like, soothe your throat. And it tasted awesome.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Wait, well, how do you feel about Jell-O parfaits?
What's a Jell-O parfait?
It's like cubed Jell-O with like whipped cream kind of mixed into it.
Oh, hell yeah. My grandma used to make Jell-O. For me is like reminiscent of my dad's side of the family. They're like Midwestern, like ambrosia salad and like Jell-O making stuff.
Doesn't that have coconut in it though?
Yeah.
No,
that's the thing. I'm like very intrigued with like this like early to mid-century middle American dessert diet, and Jell-O included. Yeah. That's what made me get into this, because like Jell-O, you know, we have like, we talk about food trends like nowadays. There's food trends every year, but Jell-O was a food trend in the early to mid 20th century. It was popular.
It was like very common for people to bring Jell-O molds to other people as a form of like a, I don't know, a housewarming gift and such as.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know, I think it kind of represented it. It's like the same era where like, you know, the microwave became popular, and I'm just interested in I'm interested in why its popularity decreased in the 80s.
Maybe it has to do with the classic old wives' tale of the horse hooves.
The what?
You know how they always say Jell-O's made the horse hooves?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, pure gelatin is animal byproduct, but nowadays most gelatin that's mass produced is not, because it's too expensive.
Yeah.
But I don't know, I think in the 50s and earlier there was this like optimism about the future and about technological increases, where people were embracing things like the microwave and things like Jell-O. It was like kind of this like futuristic culmination of industrialization, and I feel like once people became kind of disillusioned with that is when it lost its popularity. Nowadays I feel like people don't like microwaves, and they definitely don't like Jell-O. Jell-O is mocked.
Yeah, true.
And people almost want to, obviously.
Yeah, but it's funny because I feel like my What?
What you're gonna, you were saying something.
Oh, I was saying that my. Well, I guess you were still talking.
I wasn't. I was. My
popularity of. Sorry, my love of Jell-O came back, I think, when I was able to become drinking age again, and you can get Jell-O shots at the bar.
Oh, yeah. Jell-O shots are great.
It's like a pretty common thing, you know. Shout out to our friend Maddie Morton, who loves going to the bar, getting Jell-O shots, and making you take them off of random parts of someone else's body.
Well, Colin, we're
like the hand.
Like a hand. Oh, okay. Yeah, that sounds good.
You're at the bar. Come on.
Yeah, that's true. But I don't know. I don't want to leave any room here. Yeah. I also enjoy... There are some, like, really interesting Jell-O molds I've seen that can... And like koi fish Jell-O molds. And I've seen people put...
Different colors.
Herbs and things within jelly to make it, and it makes it really beautiful, honestly.
It really, I mean, there has to have been some kind of photographer or something that's based their series off of Jell-O molds. And, you know, imagine zooming in on it.
There are a few,
lighting it from different angles. That'd look pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. There are a few artists that use Jell-O as a medium.
Oh yeah,
Sharona Franklin, who is actually based out of Vancouver, she's a Canadian artist. Her art isn't necessarily food based, but I think some of her background, I think her family used Jell-O a lot in their gatherings. I think I'd have to double check, but she does a lot of, like, she uses jelly as her medium and puts objects and different things within the jelly, but it's like. Very, very cool. Very, very cool art.
Yeah. I'm actually looking at Jell-O art right now. I Google image searched it. And there is way more amazing things that I would have ever thought of.
Yeah, it's great stuff. I think
someone just made one that looks like a baby in a womb.
Damn.
It legit creepy. Looks like a baby, like, floating in embryonic fluid.
Damn. Well, I would say that art is the new home for Jell-O because it's not going to be mainstream culinary institutions. Whoa, that's creepy. I don't like that. That's like that's Uncanny Valley right there. Well, on that note, let's just resume with this show.
Yeah, let's get back to it.
Okay, you're listening to CKUT 90.3. Remember, you can find the set list at CKUT.Tuesday on Instagram.
Love the raisin, and I love grapes. Some people put grapes in Jell-O, and that just ruins a good grape. Don't do that. Jell-O is. How do the Jell-O people even stay in business? Honestly, are there that many people recovering from surgery that they can still sell Jell-O? Honestly, have you ever been craving Jell-O, dying for some Jell-O, had a hankering for a hunk of Jell-O, said to your best friend, "You know what I could go for?" And they scream, "Jell-O!" No, can't even get it at a restaurant. Can only get it at a diner. Late at night, they're like, well, they're probably drunk. Maybe we can push some Jell-O off on them. Jell-O. Oh, my gosh. You can get it at a diner, and they're so proud of their Jell-O at the diner. They put it in that special glass case that rotates ever so slowly so you can see the Jell-O at every angle. So you can watch the Jell-O, call your friends over. Guys, they got Jell-O. Here comes it. Let's watch. Oh, here comes the Jell-O. Oh, Jell-O, yeah. Oh, Jell-O, but there goes the Jell-O, but I think it comes around. Oh, here it comes around. And go, oh, Jell-O, you're such a tease. Why do you tease me, Jell-O? Why are you such a tease, you hideous bitch goddess? Come back to me, Jell-O. And then they have a door in that thing, and it's locked. It's locked. You or I can't just go up there and grab some Jell-O. The general manager, sir, sit down. The general manager will get you your Jell-O. And then they put the Jell-O in a crystal wine goblet. That's how proud they are of the Jell-O. Jell-O, crystal wine goblet. Meanwhile, carrot cake, the best of all vegetable-based cakes, carrot cake, styrofoam plate, saran wrap top. Carrot cake is awesome, and yet carrots are horrible. Carrots the worst vegetable? No, celery. Celery is the worst vegetable in the world. Celery is, I don't even know how they're still around. I'll tell you why they're still around. And celery should wake up every morning, call Buffalo Wings, and say, thank you. Thank you so much for letting me open for you on the road. I don't know what I'd do if it wasn't for you, Buffalo Wings. You're a good friend.
You took like a police. This was a rat in the army. You said rat the police. Sparrow Jetty. Macau. Honeys. You took like a police. So now. You took surveillance of Nemo. Who's surveillance? What about a rogue? Sounds like some kind of Catholic sin. You're going for police, who cares? Buy some kind of rental home. Concession stand, fall on the roof. You're going for police. Just a sausage tied, a piece of twine. Work with some kind of synthetic ego wine. Send out signal by release. You're going for police, who cares?
Believe.
Right, folks, we are about 15 minutes away from our big interview today, because we are going to learn a lot about Jell-O. Ain't that right?
J-E-L-L-O.
J-E-L-L-O. Everyone's favorite childhood snack.
It's not dessert, it's fun.
It's not. It's for everything. It's all purpose. Anything
That was their slogan.
Oh, okay. Anything you're interested in learning about, Colin?
I'd like to know if anyone's ever filled up a pool and swam in Jell-O.
I wonder if our interview would even know
I know. Well, it seems like if you run a museum, you would know. That would have to be some kind of world record, right? The largest amount of Jell-O.
Maybe, yeah. Maybe Colin, can we get a number crunch on that? Can you look that up? I mean, I feel like filling up...
Beep, boop, beep, boop, beep, beep, beep.
I feel like filling up a pool with Jell-O is like every child... Every child that was exposed to Jell-O, it was their, like, dream. Every child thought of it at one point, like, swimming in Jell-O.
Yeah. I told Zoe that I was gonna do this show with you and that we're interviewing the Jell-O. What is it? Where are they from?
The director of the Jell-O Museum.
And that was her question. Has anyone ever filled up a swimming pool and swam in Jell-O?
I mean,
I'm searching right now.
Good question. I believe our interview is going to tell us a bit about Canada's history of Jell-O as well. She knows quite a lot.
That's awesome. Looks like I just typed in world's largest Jell-O. Someone filled a 15-ton Jell-O pool, and they swam in it.
Someone did it. They lived out the dream. Sounds scary, though. Swimming in Jell-O seems dangerous. Not an adult.
Yeah, it looked like you could get stuck in it, you know?
Absolutely.
Also, it looks kind of liquidy. It doesn't look like they actually did it.
Well, I mean, full job. I mean, come on. It's death sentence.
What are you wanting to learn about Jell-O, Scott?
I guess I'm just interested in the demise of Jell-O as an American household staple. Really, the anthropological aspect of it. It's been relegated to the past. And it's in Jell-O, I just feel like it's widely mocked.
I don't know if it's actually Jell-O. What is widely mocked?
Jell-O. Colin, I'm losing you.
What did you say?
I'm losing you. Can you hear me? All right, listen, Colin. If you can hear me, I am going to reset my internet connection.
Yeah, I can hear you.
I'm going to reset my internet connection with you, okay? So I'm just going to get back to the music here, and I'm going to get you back on air, buddy. Okay? Just don't go yet, man. Stay here. Oh, you're here. Are you back? Nope. Okay. All right, folks.
I'm here.
You're listening to CKUT 90.3.
What a welcome to the neighborhood.
Wait till you taste my Margie's dessert.
Dessert? I didn't make dessert. Oh, instead, I made some fun.
Watch it glimmer, see it shimmer. Cool and fruity, Jell-O brand gelatin. Of all desserts, you'll love the one that tastes so light and makes such fun. Make Jell-O gelatin and make some fun.
You've already made the neighborhood fun.
Something.
Seemed like he could harm me. But I guess I was wrong, because just as I thought that, he pulled a weapon out of his black cloak. And you know when you're in a dream and you're trying to punch someone, but it feels like you're punching through a bunch of thick jello, thick jello, thick jello, thick jello, thick jello.
Right, folks, we're 5 minutes away from our Jell-O interview.
Deep within a Trojan horse are praying mantis eyes of yellow. From my hammock in the sky I sing in canticles to Jell-O.
Reference canticles to Germany.
To we talk about and to learn about
will soon be read today.
Jell-O.
Say, but next week is our culture night, our biggest best event, and I've just made a dish for it you'll all find heaven sent. It's my lime Jell-O marshmallow cottage cheese surprise with slices of pimento. You won't believe your eyes. All topped with a pineapple ring and a dash of mayonnaise. My vanilla wafers round the edge will win your highest praise. And Mrs. Jones is making scones that are filled with peanut mousse, to be followed by a chicken mold that's made in the shape of a goose. For ladies who must watch those pounds, we found a special dish. Strawberry ice enshrined in rice with bits of tuna fish and my lime Jell-O marshmallow cottage cheese surprise. Truly a great...
That's right, folks. T-minus 1 minute, if all goes well here, we will be joined by Lynn Belluccio, the director of the Jell-O Museum over in upstate New York. That's only an hour away from here, you Montrealers. You can go take a trip to that museum as soon as these borders open.
Just don't know what nice is. And my lime Jell-O marshmallow cottage cheese surprise. I did not steal that recipe. You know those are lies. Lies, I tell you. A grand award, a picture hat, and a salmon sequin gown for any girl who tries each dish and keeps her whole lunch down. I'm sure you all are waiting for the biggest news desserts. We've thought of things and molds and rings your diet to subvert. You must try our chocolate layer cake on a peanut brittle base with slices of bananas that make a funny face. And round the edges peppermints just swimming in peach custard with lovely little curly cues of lovely yellow mustard. If all this is too much for you, permit me to advise more lime Jell-O marshmallow cottage cheese surprise. I've made heaps.
Any minute, folks. Any minute now, you'll be joined by Lynn Belluccio.
With his wiggly head, his wobbly hand, he's a silly old Jell-O man. Oh, silly old Jell-O man. Here he comes and his strawberry red in my fridge today. He makes his bed with his gumdrop by his marshmallow head. Silly old Jell-O man, oh. Silly old Jell-O man. See him walking down the street, can't you hear
the
of his feet? He's the wiggliest man you ever will meet.
Come on, bring, please greet our guest while I get set up here.
Jell-O man. Here he comes and he's got the red in the fridge.
That would be right now, Colin.
Gumdrop pies, marshmallow head. Silly old Jell-O man. Oh. Silly old Jell-O man. He loves to really shake your hand, smile at you, and you'll think he's grand. He always says, I understand, the silly old Jell-O man. Oh,
oh, sorry, folks, about that. Sorry.
Silly old Jell-O man. Here he comes and he's strawberry red in the fridge today. He makes his bed, gumdrop by marshmallow head. Silly old Jell-O man. Oh, silly old Jell-O man. Yes, everybody loves the Jell-O man, cause never, never, never does take a stand. So they make him king of Jell-O land, the silly old Jell-O man, oh. Silly old Jell-O man, silly old Jell-O man, silly old Jell-O man, silly old Jell-O man.
Okay, folks, CKUT 90.3 FM. You're listening to the Tuesday Morning Show. That's every Tuesday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m., as always. And we are now at that time that we've been waiting for all morning for our interview with the director of the Jello Museum in upstate New York, folks, the one and only Lynn. Hello, Lynn.
Hi there. How are you today?
We're doing good. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you fine. I'm sitting on my front porch. I have to warn you that in the midst of everything, if the dog sees a squirrel, you're going to hear the dog too. So
that's absolutely okay. We love dogs on the Tuesday Morning Show. So, Lynn, just to clarify, you're the director of the Jello Museum in upstate New York, correct?
Well, I'm really the director of the Leroy Historical Society, and we have the Jello Museum because Jello was introduced in Leroy in 1897. Jello brand.
Okay. Jello was founded in Leroy.
And I want to make a clarification because this is sometimes confusing. I mean, there has been gelatin around for hundreds of years.
Right.
What we're talking, and so it depends on whether we're talking about Jello generically because it wiggles and it's made out of gelatin, or whether we're talking about Jello brand gelatin. So Jello brand gelatin was introduced in 1897 in Leroy. And I'll take that a little bit further. If you go to somebody's house and they're saying we're having Jello for dessert and they give you chocolate pudding, you're saying, wait a minute, I think I'm supposed to have Jello. Well, you're having Jello brand pudding. So the brand is on some other products. But when we say Jello, most everybody thinks of the, you know, jiggly stuff.
Right. Can you tell us a little bit about the beginnings of the Jello brand?
Yes. There was a carpenter. He was in his 20s. He was in Leroy. He was dabbling at a lot of things, trying to make a little extra money. In the wintertime, when he couldn't be building houses, he mixed together sugar, gelatin, flavoring, and coloring, and his wife came up with the name J-E-L-L hyphen. Oh, it has to have the hyphen. And he didn't patent the recipe. He trademarked J-E-L-L hyphen O. So it really is a trademark that he introduced. And for 2 years, he tried getting people interested in buying this new product, and nobody really knew what it was. I mean, one of his advertising things was a couple of little kids standing there saying, we don't get any more whippings because we don't get into our mama's jelly jars anymore. Well, you know, I don't know how successful a campaign like that would go. But anyway, so after 2 years, he had kind of discouraged another man in Leroy by the name of Orator Woodward, offered him $450 and said, anything you got packaged up, I'll buy, and I want the trademark. So the deal went through, $450. That would have been several thousand dollars in today's money. And so Pearl White was happy. He went off. He built a house and went his way. And Orator Woodward had the stuff, and he had trouble selling it. And it was because of advertising. I mean, I think that Jell-O really is an example of how successful an advertising campaign can be, because it would be like saying to somebody, do you want a Kleenex if you don't know it's a paper tissue? Or even, do you want an aspirin if you don't know that it's, you know, whatever it is? And because those are brand names. And so the big thing that Orator Woodward was able to do was he hired some of the best advertising agencies in New York City to advertise his product. And so by 1904, he introduced the Jell-O girl, and she was, you know, prominent to produce, you know, to produce that image of Jell-O. And then, actually, he dies in 1906, but by 1907, Jell-O is grossing $1 million a year.
Wow.
That's a pretty good return on a $450 investment.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. And so his family retains control of the company, but again, it's really the success of advertising. And So they advertise it as America's most famous dessert. By that time, there were, and because we're talking to, you know, folks in Canada, there was a plant in Canada, in Bridgeburg, Ontario, which is now Fort Erie. And they were manufacturing Jell-O brand gelatin in Canada. And as I mentioned to you at one time, we have a box that says Canada's most famous dessert.
Yeah.
And So, you know, they, and it was known in North America, not like Coca-Cola that is known worldwide. But it became, because they said it was America's most famous dessert, it became America's most famous dessert. And they hired really good illustrationists, Norman Rockwell, Maxfield Parrish. They advertise for Jell-O.
No way. I mean,
yeah, it's true. It's true. And then other well-known illustration people. And you have to, the other thing that is really critical in this timeline of when they introduce this very colorful product. I mean, you think of Jell-O, you think of colors, bright colors, you know, yellow and orange and red, today blue, but not then blue. And so how do you get that colorful image into people at a time when the print that is your advertising is black and white? So their early advertising pieces are black and white. Doesn't catch your imagination. If you went into a store, it would say, you know, buy Jell-O, but it was black and white.
Right.